This is the Northwest Passage on KLCC. I'm Laura McCandlish. Our guest today is community food activist Mark Winnie. The former longtime director of the Hartford, Connecticut food system, Winnie is the author of Closing the Gap, Resetting the Table in the Land of Plenty. He's recently published a follow-up book, Food Rebels, Guerrilla Gardeners, and Smart Cookin' Mamas, Fighting Back in an Age of Industrial Agriculture. Mark, welcome to KLCC.
Thanks for having me, Laura.
I understand you drew some controversy with your last book, claiming that emergency food programs sidetrack efforts to eliminate hunger. Do you maintain that position in the new book?
I don't address that subject in Food Rebels the way I did in Closing the Food Gap. I think that the issue is still alive. I think it's still an important one. I'm very happy to hear and see that a number of food banks have taken more of an advocacy position. They're paying more attention to the causes of hunger. They're working more directly with people who are impoverished and who are using their services. In the early 90s, we saw a tremendous growth in the demand for emergency food. I mean, it was really astounding to see people lining up around the corners on streets trying to get food from the very few number of emergency food pantries that existed at the time. There were no food banks anywhere in the country at that point. And today there are about 206. At that time, there were also maybe a few hundred emergency food pantries in the country. Today, there's over 60,000. We've accepted that as normal. The time has come for us to try to drill down a little bit deeper into the problem.
Your new book seems to approach these issues through more of a philosophical lens.
I step away from the social justice discussion a little bit because I think there's a bigger issue that actually affects all of us, regardless of our income, regardless of where we live, regardless of our race or status in any other respect. And that is the fact that we're all very subject to the whims and vagaries of the what I refer to as the industrial food system. It's the very dominant, very prevalent way that most of us get food in this country. And increasingly, we have come to rely on factory farms, on genetically modified food, fairly heavy use of agro-industrial chemicals. Do we need all this technology in order to feed a hungry world? And I pose the kind of philosophical question that what we really need is more democracy. We need more participation. You know, get your hands in the soil, get your vegetables on the chopping block, and get your voices down at City Hall. It's where we as citizens begin to engage in public policy and fight back in the city council, in the state legislature, and in the halls of Congress. I write about how people have been able to get soda machines out of the schools and push back at the fast food industry. And so it's that kind of citizen engagement that I hold up as being, you know, a very big part of the answer to how do we develop an alternative food system? And frankly, how do we answer the question about feeding a hungry world? Well, again, it's going to be more democracy. It's going to be more citizen participation. It's not going to be about more technology.
Walk us through some of the characters in your book.
I devote most of the book to profiling people and communities that have done some really interesting work. And one person in particular is a African-American gentleman named Maurice Small, who lives in Cleveland, Ohio, in really what is the Rust Belt of America. A tremendous amount of abandoned properties, demolished houses and buildings, vacant lots all over the place. Cleveland has lost half of its population in the last 15 years. Maurice has lived in Cleveland his whole life. He said to me during the course of our interview that one day he just got sick of the vacant lots that he was seeing as an adult that he had seen as a kid. In other words, nothing had happened. And he decided that he was going to get people together and start planting these lots, cleaning them up, turning them into community gardens, turning them into urban farms. He's been doing that all for the last, I think, 15 years. Now he's working in other cities across northern Ohio. It's that kind of spirit. You know, it says, we have a problem here. We got to do something about it. we know that nobody's going to come in and help us in a big way. We got to kind of use our own hands. We got to pick up that rubble. We got to move it out of the way. We got to find some trucks and bring in some topsoil. We got to find some trucks and bring in some composted manure from somewhere. We're going to get some seeds and we're going to scrape together some rakes and hoes. And we're going to do all that stuff in order to make this work. Along the way, he began to get help. You know, institutions like the Cleveland Clinic and Oberlin College and Case Western Reserve University, which is located in East Cleveland, said, all right, we'll start to buy some of this product. So they provided a market for food that was grown in Cleveland. And then they organized farmers just outside of the city to also sell to these institutions. And then the city of Cleveland came along itself and said, all right, we'll provide some small grants to try to help people start these gardens. They literally provided seed grants. I mean, a little bit of money to help people purchase seeds and some other, you know, basic accessories so that they could undertake some gardening. And then they went even further and they said, we'll provide better zoning so that you're not going to lose those gardens once some developer comes along and decides he wants to put up a parking lot. And then we'll even go beyond that and we'll say, we purchase food for the schools, for our public institutions every day. Let's give a preference to food that's grown in and around Cleveland.
You're listening to KLCC's Northwest Passage. We're speaking with Mark Winney, the author of Food Rebels, Guerrilla Gardeners, and Smart Cooking Mamas.
My smart cooking mamas are lower income women in Austin, Texas, who got into this cooking program as a way to try to deal with problems that they were having with their weight, problems that their children were having with their weight, a recognition that, you know, their health was in jeopardy, that if they didn't get some control over their diet. And getting control over their diet usually meant that they had to learn how to cook. They had to learn how to shop better. Things that they kind of knew how to do intuitively or had been taught by their own mothers, though in many cases not taught very well, they had to kind of relearn. And so they needed help. And this Happy Kitchen program provided them with enough basic cooking training and assistance, and it was a peer teaching method so that the people who are in the program are being taught by people that have already gone through the program.
You spoke on a panel about improving access to organic for all. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on how to do that?
Well, that is an issue that I think more and more people are paying attention to. I mean, the organic movement is like the local food movement, like the slow food movement, all those kind of variations, you might say. You know, had been accused of being elitist. There was that criticism that this is expensive food and it's only food that's going to be available to those who are light, white, and bright. I think that's changing radically. First of all, I find more interest in local and organic food in lower income areas. I find those who are activists in terms of organizing farmers markets or food co-ops or community supported agriculture farms, urban farms, for instance, unconventional forms of food production, are paying attention very closely to these kind of equity questions. If we truly believe that local and organic are the best food possible, then shouldn't everybody have access to that food? No one should be denied access because of income or where they live or race or any other factor.
And we can check out your website.
Yeah, go to www.markwinney.com, and that's markwinne.com.
Well, thank you again so much for speaking with us, Mark.
Thanks, Laura.
Our guest today was community food activist Mark Winney. He joined us to discuss his new book, Food Rebels, Guerrilla Gardeners, and Smart Cookin' Mamas, Fighting Back in an Age of Industrial Agriculture.